The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Your boy McCarthy just don't have the votes. And I just, you know, this is my whole premise here. You know, McCarthy don't have the votes for whatever reason. I mean, even if the party is deciding to be childish or whatever, he don't have the votes. He don't have the votes. And I heard some lunatic on the Instagram or Twitter that was making it seem like the Republicans, like McCarthy and others, are willing to work with Democrats to make sure they push him through. I mean, I don't understand. Like, now, I get, because I saw Hannity with Lauren Boebert. I saw Hannity talk to her and he said, who is your pick then? If you don't want to pick McCarthy, who's your pick? And she did not give a satisfactory answer, if you ask me. Like, if there was a consensus to say, these 20 people or so are saying we're not voting for McCarthy because there's another viable person, and they were to put that person in a position of power, I'll get it. Right now, it just seems like they're pouting. However, that's the name of the game. If you don't have enough votes, you just don't have enough votes. Maybe, just maybe, this ain't your time. And the Republican Party need to come up with a new candidate and say, can we all agree on this guy? Hey, listen, let me tell you something. You ain't got to just pick one person. You ain't got to just be stuck with the same soup warmed over. That's how we get into this mess in the first place. Maybe McCarthy was good as the, you know, House minority. Maybe he had enough votes. People voted for him. They supported him. Find somebody else, please. I don't even think it's that hard. I don't even think it's that serious, if you ask me. I think it's like 10, 15 people that I can name off the top of my head right now in the House of Representatives that could be the Speaker of the House. Not unless I'm just completely oblivious. And I don't really know what it takes to be the House. Nancy Pelosi was a speaker. And she is dumber than six shoes on an eight-legged man. You could throw a rock and hit a Republican that could be the Speaker of the House. Explain to me why we even having this conversation. I don't know how many rounds of votes that have gone through and he still hadn't had enough votes. Pick another Republican, please, before I get mad at y'all. But I got so much else to say, but let me bring a couple clips in about McCarthy, because I want you to hear a little bit about what they're saying in the news. And some people are switching up. Some people said that they didn't like McCarthy. They want McCarthy. You know, at the end of the day, I think some people may be folding under pressure, or maybe they're wising up. Let me play a couple clips. GOP Representative Victoria Spartz on why she switched her vote to McCarthy. Listen to clip 4.
Congresswoman-elect, do you know what brought around your other colleagues specifically?
Well, I think, you know, there were some changes in the rules that, you know, were done by Speaker Pelosi that existed for over 100 years. And we are not dictatorship. We are freedom-loving people, independent people, and we are not going to have queens and kings. And Speaker Pelosi wanted to be a queen. Republicans are not going to be suppressed. We need to make sure that the institution is reformed and we bring more democratic mechanism. I think Democrats should like that, too. And we shouldn't be afraid to have actually everyone expressed in voice, because we represent the same amount of people. It is very important. Our institution has very low approval rating for a reason, because we're not delivering and bickering and playing politics and show and not giving people a voice. I think that it was very good, a positive change. We also have a processes where we actually have uncontrolled spending, and this is the most important function this institution needs to do, and we need to make sure that we as an institution have an ability to have a rules that allow us to be able to stop some crazy things that could happen. And it's been happening, and a lot of people were not able to do it. Even Kevin McCarthy, when he was in the minority, he was not able to stop some members to collaborating with the other side and pass some terrible legislation.
So we made some very...
I want to play Kevin McCarthy. That was a weird clip of her. I thought, I was like, is this woman American? I never even heard of her before, but she, I guess she's a House of Representatives. Here's Kevin McCarthy's statement, and I'm going to play what Matt Gaetz said, not Kevin Gaetz. Y'all don't know who Kevin Gaetz is. I don't want to hear what he has to say about politics. I'm going to go with Kevin McCarthy, clip five.
So we made some very good progress. We'll come back tonight. I believe at that time we'll have the votes to finish this once and for all. It just reminds me of what my father always told me. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And now we have to finish for the American public.
What was the turnaround? What was the breaking point in these negotiations?
I think getting together and just finding the ability to how we all going to work together. It's new for us, one, being in the majority, but being in a tight majority. I think at the end of the day, we're going to be more effective, more efficient, and definitely government's going to be more accountable.
How worried are you that you...
See, this is the great part. Because it took this long, now we learned how to govern. So now we'll be able to get the job done. Thank you all very much. See you later.
That's a weird answer. Anyway, let me let you listen to Matt Gaetz real quick. Matt Gaetz calling Kevin McCarthy the LeBron James of special interest fundraising.
Several believe that one earns the position of speaker by raising enormous sums of money, and there is no doubt that the individual that was nominated by Mr. Garcia is the LeBron James of special interest fundraising in this town. There is nobody better, but I would suggest that there are qualifications for speaker that are far more important. There are attributes that are far more important. Jim Jordan has those, and I am submitting his name for nomination at this time. I heard my colleague from California, Mr. Garcia, say that we seek pure, selfless intent. And I could not agree more with that assessment. Mr. Jordan, indeed, is reflective of pure, selfless intent. I don't know that the same can be said for the Republican alternative.
Sounds interesting to me. You know, if I had to go off of the people that I like based on what they say, what they do, what they stand for, you know, I like Jim Jordan just about more than anybody else in the House of Representatives. But at the same time, I'm going to be honest about my lack of understanding because I don't work there. And I hope that everybody can agree to that and say, if you're a Kevin McCarthy person or you're not a Kevin McCarthy person, it's good to have an opinion, but assess your opinion based on factual reality, which means that unless you actively know these people, you may not have the insight that people who actually work with Kevin McCarthy has, whether good or bad. Unless you're working down there in the House of Representatives and you really know what these people stand for, you had a beer with them and you know these people, you know, we're just making observations based on the limited knowledge of the way these people talk when we get exposed to them on television. So keep that in mind. And that's why I'm not taking a hard stance on McCarthy or not, because I have no idea. You know, one minute you think a person is a deep state operative, and then the next minute Donald Trump is endorsing the person. One minute you think Matt Gaetz is you know a rock star and he's headed in the right direction, and then you see him going against McCarthy, which is also going against a lot of other Republicans that I respect. So it's like I have no idea. I really don't know what they're pushing and what they're not pushing. All I do know is that we better get it together. And as long as there's a Republican in the majority in the House of Representatives, then I am okay with that. Let me move to another subject that I want to talk about. I mean, we touched on it yesterday when it comes to minimum wage and the minimum wage hike and should there be minimum wage, should the government be involved in it? And I would argue that the answer is no. I don't think government should be involved in minimum wage. I think the free market will dictate how much to pay a person. And we've already seen companies now. You name me a Fortune 500 company that's doing really, really well that's paying people poor. One, two, three, maybe. A lot of these big companies, they have to pay you well so you can get productivity. With productivity comes more money, more revenue, happy shareholders, and all of the above. But the other concept that has come out, and people like to argue this, is they say, you know, women make less than men. And it's funny to me that the feminist ideologies have stimulated itself all the way to the minds of feeble beta males. If you are a man and you are arguing that women should get equal pay, you are a beta male. You are uninformed. And you know, you don't have a mind of your own to do any research. There is no evidence whatsoever to dictate that virtually speaking, men work on the same job as a woman and the man just get paid more money. That's just not true. It's not happening. It's all a farce. You look at generically speaking, if you look at on average without any contributing factors, you could say men make more. But you have to consider, well, what jobs are men doing versus what jobs are women doing? How many hours are men working versus women? I'm running out of time. Hold the phone. We'll be back after the break. I want to finish discussing this.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store? But then when you go home to use it, it's not even absorbent. It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now, you can receive a six-piece for only $39.98 with promo code Tatum. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, code Tatum. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. My pillar. I got to tell you about my pillars. If you're looking for some towels that are effective, that are efficient, that are I would say, soft, made in the USA, that are absorbent, which is like my biggest factor when it comes to towels, is it absorbent? I don't really care how soft it is. I don't care how cute it is. I don't care what color it is. When I go to dry off, is it going to dry me off, or am I just going to have to, you know, air dry because my towel is only good for one thing, and that's hanging up? So if you're looking for towels, towel set is amazing with MyPillow. We have the towel set. Me and the wife use it every single day, and it is absolutely phenomenal. So give it a try. Money-back guarantee. So if you don't like it, send it back. If it don't do what I'm telling you it does, send that thing back. But go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Make sure you use the code Brandon. Use the code Brandon so you can get the hookup, a.k.a. a discount with MyPillow.com. Go on there. Get a discount now. Get your towels. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to finish that conversation about the wage gap. And I get superfluous sometimes, right? You know, I may say some things like you a beta male and all this stuff. There's a part of me that really believe that. And then there's a part of me that's being superfluous at times. But I think men are a tremendous problem in society if you're peddling the lie that women don't get paid as much as men, as if there's a job that you get and you check a box and say, I'm a man, and they pay you $1. And then a woman check a box and say, I'm a woman, they pay her 70 cent. Now, any rational person with a connected brainstem, in my opinion, can do simple mathematics and say, if I could afford to pay a woman less to do the same work as a man, women will have more jobs than men do. Do you know what that'll do to your bottom line as a business owner? Just say you had 200 employees. And just say all of your employees were, you know, 180 were men. Just flip that scenario and make 180 women and leave 20 to be men, and you will save millions of dollars in your budget. over a period of time. And so it's not true. It doesn't make sense. What they're doing is they're saying, let me look at the wages of every woman in America. Let me look at the wages of every man in America. Men are making more than women. Yeah, no duh. No duh. Men work jobs that women are not willing to work. I have never in my life, in my 30 plus years, and I bet a person a month worth of my salary, that you will never see women protesting at the oil rig. I've never seen a construction site where women were protesting and saying there's not enough women in construction. I've never had a person protesting that there's not enough women plumbing. At our house, we have a septic tank for our guest house. I ain't never in my life seen a woman argue with a man about who's going to be occupying the job of cleaning out septic tanks. These are jobs that pay money, but women are not doing those jobs. You could probably see one woman that may want to do it, but generally speaking, women are not going for those jobs. Those jobs are not as desirable, but they're higher paying jobs than being a school teacher and working at a daycare facility. I mean, these are nurturing jobs that women tend to want to be a part of. And it's nothing against them, because that's the way God made women, with a nurturing spirit. That's why women are teachers more so than police officers. Why? Because God made women typically more nurturing. They love being around kids for the most part. They love little crying kids and acting a nut, because they are wired to raise children, to rear children. Men are wired to be the ones hunting, working, gathering. That's what that is. Now, we don't necessarily primarily hunt today, but that's the way we're structured. Men are not as keen on hanging around little kids all day, even their own kids sometimes. So men do jobs that are very different in nature than women do. Men work longer hours than women do. And it's because men and women have very different lifestyles. Let me give you an example on the police department. There was a wife that was a lieutenant, or she was a lieutenant or sergeant, one of them, and a husband who was a sergeant. I think her rank was higher than his, but they're in the same family. She has a baby, so she has to be out on maternity leave. And so she can't work overtime. She can't work off duty. She's on the desk, so she don't get paid night differential. She don't get paid special assignment pay. All the things that she would have gotten paid, because she had to go through maternity leave, and eventually she was off work while she had the baby. In the same time, her husband was doing double shifts. Her husband was working all the overtime. So his salary in the same household, even though her rank was higher than his salary was more than hers. His take home is going to be more than hers. And this is just a micro example of the dilemma that they never talk about when it comes to diagnosing whether or not men make more than women for the same work. I'm just telling you, you look on average, look at a career field. Are these women having children? Yes. That right there slows down the growth potential for women in certain career fields, because if you have to take a year off or 6 months off to have a child, you're not consistently working and you're not progressing. A man don't have to take maternity leave. And so he's going to earn more. Not because the business has an illegal document that says you're a man, you get paid more, we like you more. It's just different characteristics of men and women. Men typically have leadership roles. And in some cases, because they're better at it. Not all cases, but in some cases, they're better at it. They have more authority. People respect them more. It's just the way it is. People are raised in a society where you respect your father. Your father is the a person that you look up to in your family. So the application of that in real life tend to have males in leadership positions. Why? Because they should be. Now, I'm going to say something real controversial, and people are going to get mad at me, but I don't care, because it's just my opinion, to be honest. You don't have to agree with everything I say, right? I don't agree with everything you think. So I'm going to say this, and this is kind of jumping subjects, but I'm saying this because I think it's an equal comparison of how people get upset when you tell the truth, and how people want the equality, or they say they want equality, but they really want special treatment. And some things in life is not going to be fair. And also in some things in life, men have the privilege of doing that women don't have the privilege of doing. And women have the privilege of doing some things in certain areas that men don't have the privilege of doing. Let's just give you an example. If I was outside right now and there's five men and five women and a fight broke out, who has the – are you going to push the women in the front and make them fight? No, they're going to be sitting in the back, half of them crying and panicking. They don't have to fight. They don't have to defend. They don't have to do that. That's not socially acceptable. If a woman came and slapped me right in my face, what do you think I'm going to do to her? Versus what you think that the world will accept. It's a difference. It's a privilege. It's a difference. People are different. But when it comes to church, when it comes to pastoring a church, yeah, you already know what I'm going to say. But you have to check your emotions and say, is it biblical? Is it not biblical? I do not believe that there should be female pastors. And I'll tell you why after the break.
You may not want to hear it, but is it true?
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. I know some people are going to be mad at this, but this is one of the things that in our society we've dumbed down and we've bastardized. And that's the reason why we don't reap the benefits and the glory that we should on this side of earth with favor from the Lord, because we don't apply nothing that the Bible say, because we've let feminism overtake what the rule that God put into place. Feminism is not, has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, has nothing to do with the gospel, has nothing to do with Christianity. There's already a prescription of what should be done. And in today's world, we just let it all go for the sake of what we would consider to be worldly equality. Pastors, the churches, I see them all the time. They're popping up everywhere where they have women who are considered pastors of a church. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that women should be pastors of a church. There is nowhere in the Bible whatsoever. And people in America, because we live in this country that's we pseudo-Christian, we don't really follow it half of the time, is that you can do whatever you want in these churches. I mean, who cares, right? But if you want to follow the truth, then you have to understand that the Bible has a prescription of who is supposed to be a pastor and who's supposed to be an elder, a deacon, and the like. It's in the Bible. A man with one wife. That's what it says. A man with one wife. When it talks about the elder, even when the Pauline epistles, where he wrote that women should not usurp authority over the man in the church. He even went so far as say women should be quiet in the church. Now, you do the research. It's not that women should be quiet in the church, every day. It's that they were having issues with women in the church, and therefore he prescribed that method to them. But men are supposed to lead. That's what God has called you to do, is to lead. You want to go back to biblical scripture? Who was the first creation? It was Adam. Adam is a man. Now think about this for a minute. The woman gives life. But God created Adam first. Why? He gave him dominion of all the earth, to name the animals, all of those things. Then he created Eve so he can become fruitful and multiply the earth. If God wanted to, he would create Eve first and not Adam. It's because God has a lineage, has a structure that we should abide by. And it don't make any one person less important, because without a woman, there is no humanity. That's important. Look at the apostles. 12 apostles, minus Judas, who betrayed Jesus. The 12 apostles were all men. Why were they all men? And then people may say, oh, because there was a time. But the Messiah came through Mary. And so the leadership role and the leadership of the church, the leadership based on Judaism and Jesus Christ, was all predicated by men leading. However, the value and the responsibility to carry our Savior, God gave a woman that responsibility. So it does not mean, because you're not the pastor of the church, don't mean that your position isn't valuable, that your position isn't just as important. But there's a lineage, there's a position that you're supposed to be in. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the man, and the man is the head of the household. That does not make the man more important than his wife. It's just a structural thing that God has put into place so he can operate properly. God made women a certain way, made men a certain way, and made men to have the ability to lead. It, to me, I think is very simple. But just imagine how many people are upset with what I'm saying right now. It's because we have plagiarized, or not plagiarized, we have, there's another word I want to use, but I don't want to be redundant. We have now created a situation where we do what we want to do. And that's why our society is so messed up. Because when you have a household, do your research, where there is no leader in the household, it falls apart. Kids are more susceptible to fail in life when you don't have what? A father in the household. And there's women out here that do what they have to do because that's the position they've been put in. But you cannot show me a statistical data. You cannot show me statistical data where you have a father removed from the home and the kids do better. It don't happen. I'm generically speaking, right? Because if you have a guy who's an abusive man, of course, the kids maybe do better than getting abused every day. I'm talking about generally speaking. Generally speaking, because then you have a mother that's a single mother with a good father in the house, or I mean a mother with a father in the house, and she's a dirtbag. I mean, so I'm not talking about the dirtbag individuals. I'm talking about common, everyday individuals who are raising children. Without a father in the home, there's destruction. Without a leader in the home, there's destruction. We have to understand how to compartmentalize and focus on what God has called us to do, and we will be more prosperous. When we don't, we see a society that fails every single time. But before I go to the break, let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take Relief Factor every single day, and it makes me feel phenomenal. I didn't even know how much inflammation in my muscles. That's funny. How much inflammation and how much joint discomfort I had until I took Relief Factor. And I realized, dang, I feel so much better. I didn't realize that I wasn't feeling optimal. So Relief Factor is an incredible supplement that you can take, very easy to take. Break the capsules. The bag open is 4 pills. Take them with some water. Take them twice a day. It'll keep the pain away. That's my slogan. Don't mark my word. But anyway, go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-4-RELIEF.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, I just want to finish this conversation about should women be pastors and the appropriateness of structure when it comes to humanity. And I know that there's a strive for some people to feel, you know, less. Let me just say this. You know, when I look at some of the modern feminists in the world today, they lack humility in service. See, the compelling part of relationship with God and the compelling part of becoming an invaluable person in society, the best version of yourself, the compelling parts of that is for you to be a humble person with a servant mentality. And men should have a servant mentality, so should women. Feminists break the mold of a servant mentality because they're self-serving. They're self-serving. They're not here to serve other people. Feminists that advocate that it's my body, my choice. They don't care about serving their children. They will murder their children if it interferes with their perceived experience that they're going to miss out on in life. And I'm not talking about the 1% of people who have a medical issue, somebody who got raped or incest. I'm not talking about the less than 1%. I'm talking about the majority of women who subscribe to this ideology of destruction. They don't want to be a servant or subservient to anything. They believe that they are gods. And see, I think a woman who has the mindset or the mentality to serve her husband, and I know some of y'all flip out over it, I think that is more valuable, and it takes a lot more strength for a woman to do that than a woman to be like half of these feminists. I'm a boss baby. I got a six-figure job. I don't need no man. That's a weak, to me, that mentality is a weak, trauma-driven mentality. A strong woman can honor her husband and serve her husband in ways which are conducive for the family. That takes a strong woman that understands she has value that may supersede what her position is in the family. Let me give you an example of a football analogy. You got to have somebody playing quarterback. The running back can't be the quarterback or you have no team. The center cannot be the quarterback or you have no team. But is the center less valuable than the quarterback? Because without a center, there is no quarterback. Do we understand this? A man has value, but without the woman, he has no value. So male and female work together in conjunction to make this thing happen. They just take different positions. They take different positions in God's eyes and take different positions in the world to accomplish a common goal. I don't ever want to hear a man act like he's better than a woman. I hear men all the time online. I think even the boy that I like a lot of stuff that he say, he just got arrested recently, Andrew Tate. Now, he said a lot of stuff that I think is profound. But then he's nutty in a lot of areas, too, because he believes that a man should be able to cheat on a woman and a woman can't cheat on a man. First of all, you shouldn't be cheating on nobody. You lack integrity and you're not a real man if you're cheating on somebody. Cheating on anything. Lying and being deceptive is a character flaw, no matter how you apply it. But that don't make you a good man. And men shouldn't have the ideology or the mentality to say, I'm better than you, so I could cheat on you, or I could treat you a certain way, you need to serve me. That's not what the Bible say. The Bible is very clear that women should serve their husbands, and the husbands should love the wife as Christ loved the church. So in the Bible, I think it says women should submit to their husbands and their husbands should love the wife as Christ loved the church. What does Christ love the church mean? Jesus died because of his love for what? The church. The man is to lay down his life for his wife. I think people get it all mixed up because people tell you scenarios that aren't even realistic. The biblical scenario of relationships is the perfect scenario. Is that women, you don't be arguing and giving your husband a hard life. Be loving and compassionate and supportive of your husband. Husbands, don't allow your woman to love you in vain, where you don't get off your butt and go do anything and make the family better and have integrity. You are a failure if you do not do that. Your wife loves you. You lay your life on the line for your family. You lay your life on the line for your wife. The Bible doesn't call the wife to lay her life on the line for you. It calls you to lay your life on the line for your wife. As Christ loved the church, Christ took the beating, took the humiliation on our behalf. And I want men to understand that too, because they get so wired up when you have a pro-male, pro-father, pro-dad, pro-man message, they get the big head and think, yeah, a woman's supposed to be, because I provide money, she's supposed to give me whatever I want. No, that's not what God had called you to do. He called you to love your wife as he loves the church. You are to go out and provide for your wife. You are to go out and put it on the line every day so that your wife can have safety and security. You don't take that for granted. You don't come home and slap your wife in the head and tell her to make you a sandwich. That's not the way you do it. You go out and work. Your wife supports you. You support your wife and y'all go in a circle, because without her, you have no legacy. And see, I should be a red pill guy. You know, they have these people out here talking about guru stuff. Without your wife, you have no legacy. What is your legacy? You show me where a man can have a baby by himself. You have no legacy, man. Jesus would not have been here without women, without wives, because the lineage came all the way down from Abraham. I mean, it came from before Abraham, but we'll start at Abraham. It came all the way down from Abraham, and this person begot this person, and begot this person, and begot this person, and then Jesus came. And he came through what? Mary. If it had not been for Mary, there is no salvation for mankind. So I'm just throwing it out there. Get in your rightful position, but understand that we're both equally as valuable in God's eyes, and we have a purpose that we both need to exercise in order to be great. Can't have one without the other. Anyway, I think I need to make that a sermon or something, and y'all could pass the offering plate around. But let me tell you about Relief Factor. Before I go to the break, if you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, Relief Factor is your supplement, 100% drug-free solution. And that's what I like personally. I don't like taking stuff that's drug-related. I don't want to get hooked on nothing. I don't want something I can't try. I want the most natural approach to health that I can get, and that's why I love Relief Factor. And Relief Factor isn't in competition with other things that I do. It's a great supplement to what I already do to make my health better. I work out. It's not going to somehow take a Relief Factor. You don't have to work out no more. But while working out, I have the best version or the best success in my workout and recovery because I take Relief Factor. So whatever you do, whatever supplements you take, it's not going to interfere with your supplements. It's going to be an additive thing that can make you the best version of yourself, make you feel good. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call the number 800-4-RELIEF.
On the Salem News Channel, on the Salem Podcast Network, and right here, right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I know that was a tough pill to swallow in the last segment, but I think it's invaluable for somebody with enough courage like myself to say these things. It's very hard to say some of the statements or make the statements that I just made because some people don't want to offend other people. And that's more important than to tell the truth, especially when you're a Christian. You know, and it's funny because Christian people who are really following the Bible, who really want to do right by God, they understand what I'm saying. They understand that there's a reason why Paul had made mention that the women should not usurp authority over the men in the church. Look at institutions, and I'm not saying it's the women's fault. It's actually the fault of the failure of men that propel women to have to take leadership roles that's not designed for them to take. And these churches want inclusion, so they go, and God has already told us that men are to lead. But then they want to be inclusive because they don't want to seem like they're bigoted. They don't want to seem like they're sexist. So what do? They say, oh, yeah, we can skip over this, what it says in the Bible, and we can start having women be preachers. And then what happens? It's another slippery slope because you don't want to not be inclusive to people of the LGBTQ community. So then now you have pastors and preachers who are gay, lesbian. And inclusion has nothing to do with the scripture. And then you have people, men, who are cheating on their wives, still pastoring churches. Committed infidelity. They're at the club drinking every night, smoking weed, doing crimes, and they're still leading churches because of inclusion. It's a slippery slope, and it's not to badger anybody. It's not to make you feel bad about it. It's just to tell the truth, and how you feel about the truth is between you and God. But these are the reasons that our churches are failing, because we don't have people that want to stand up. There are some churches that'll be straight up and down with you and say, like, this is what the Bible say. And then people who really love God will say, you know what? I love God more than I love my own pride. How about I be submissive to my husband? And, you know, I could go on all day about this. Some of the reason why women are not submissive to their husband, because you marrying the wrong people. You marrying a guy that can't lead, your kids across the street. That don't mean you shouldn't be submissive. That means you with the wrong man. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
You have the right to remain silent, but it's better if you chop it up with Brandon. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243.
Holla
at
your
boy.
Oh, no, he did.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Some good news from Damar Hamlin. He's, according to some of the articles that I've read, they are saying that he is now breathing on his own. He can breathe on his own. He's now showing great signs of recovery. They believe he's going to make a full neurological recovery, which is something that, like I said, you know, it's a miracle. At what happened to him, many people do not survive that. He is the 5%. There's only about 5% of people who go through a cardiac incident like he did that will survive that. So he already survived that portion of it. But it's funny because God is showing himself to be true. He's showing himself that people can pray and God can turn a mess into success. Because not only will this guy recover, I'm speaking into existence. I mean, I don't know. It's up to God, but I like to speak positivity in the atmosphere. Is that not only will DeMar recover. See, let me say this real quick, because I got to talk about The View, because these women brains are dead. But I just want to say this real quick, because I think there's a message here. Not only will DeMar recover, but he's going to recover twice what was taken from him, right? In that football game, he wasn't able to finish. I think it was one of his first seasons playing. You know, it would have capped off his season. Many people would have looked at it and say, man, that's messed up, man. It was the last game of the season or whatever. You know, he passed out at this point, man. That's so messed up, man. Now he may not be able to. No, God said, okay, I'll allow this to happen because I want to bring glory to my namesake. And for people on ESPN to pray and for America to come together. And then not only am I going to do that for you to come together, after he recovered, he's going to have $7 million in his GoFundMe to bless even more people. And now I'm going to be glorified because he was a Christian. DeMar was a Christian. I think that's amazing. Now, outside of the amazing news that I said, I want you to listen to these crackheads on The View talk about football. And I feel like it ties into what I just was talking about women. Listen to The View talk about football and try to bring in white conservatives as the problem to the violence or the aggressiveness in football. Roll the clip.
Right? I mean, my kid played football. He was recruited for college, and he got a terrible hamstring injury getting hit. And I saw him collapse to the ground. Yes. Thank you. And he went through physical therapy for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And he realized
time out.
That point.
Time out. Like, tell your mama to get off the TV talking about football. He sustained a serious hamstring injury. I watched him collapse after a hit. Come on, lady, make this make sense. Whether he pulled his hamstring or did somebody pop him and he went unconscious. You tell me, she probably don't know the difference. He quit football because he had a hamstring injury? Willis McGahee's leg was snapped in half like this, and he's still playing in the NFL. Lady, a hamstring? Okay, roll the clip.
Realized at that point, that could happen to my brain.
Right. Yeah.
And so he quit. And
oh,
it was
he did.
He quit. And it was a very hard thing for him.
Hold on, time out. I don't want to laugh. He pulled his hamstring and he felt like that could happen to his brain? You could pull a brain muscle? I think something else happened to her son. She's either lying or something else happened. She have no idea what happened to her kid and why he quit football. Or she's just a complete liar. Your son gets hit, pulls a hamstring, on rehab for 6 months or whatever she said. Then he realizes that, you know what? I got hit and pulled my hamstring. That could happen to my brain. So I'm going to quit football because I don't want to pull my brain muscle. I can't believe these people are still on TV. Roll the clip.
Quit. And it was a very hard thing for him because he loved doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to turn people away from the sport because, I mean, no. I went to Notre Dame. It's like faith, family, football. It's a big deal, and it's a $105 billion industry.
Yeah. Only 45% of Americans think that tackle football is appropriate.
Yeah.
Heterosexual men voted the most support for kids doing football,
mm-hmm.
and conservatives were more likely to support youth tackle football. Just saying.
So I don't think it'll turn people away from consuming the sport because it is, as Sunny says, such a huge part of tradition.
In this country, yeah.
In this country. I grew up, football was just the norm.
These women are so deranged. You can go and watch the rest of the cackling. But what is the point of saying heterosexual men support tackle football? Like, is that a dig? Or you are exposing gay men? Which one are you doing? Because to be honest, tackle football, it ain't nothing wrong with tackle football. You just have to tackle properly. See, it's not the football that's the problem. It's the fact that people are not training how to make a good form tackle. Because in rugby, they don't have some of the issues that we see in football, and they don't even have helmets on. They don't have to go through all that technology. And they bigger, and they hit harder than people in football. It's because they lead with their shoulders. They know how to make a good form tackle because they don't have all these pads as a barrier to just throw their life on the line. And then you go down the list and you say, why are we having a conversation about concussions? Why are we having a conversation about injuries when this kid got hit and suffered something that's very rare? He had a heart issue that has nothing to do with a concussion, that has nothing to do with getting pulling a hamstring. You don't even watch football. And you got a bunch of women on a panel talking about football. Y'all have never played football. And I argue that the lady lying about her son, that boy, something else happened to him, or she just completely made it up. But when you go down and say, well, conservatives, that tells me that conservatives got sense. That tells me the conservatives, understand what it means to have toughness. Football isn't just about the game. This is the problem, and that's why these women on The View are so nutty to me. Football isn't just about game day. That game only lasts 60 minutes. And, you know, with the commercial breaks, it's longer than that. But 60 minutes of playing football. That's not practice, camaraderie, teamwork, off-season workout, meals, eating properly. All of these things build you in football to have tangibles in order to be successful in life. Football is bigger than just the game that these women see on a highlight tape. Don't even know what happened to a son and his injuries. But this is why you don't let people who are not even playing the sport, they can say whatever they want, but you don't take them seriously because they don't have any reasonable knowledge. And to me, they're just nutty. 45% of America don't think contact sport. 45% of the rest of America is soft. They didn't got soft. What would that survey look like 50 years ago?
45% of America don't want men hitting sports.
It's a billion-dollar industry for a reason. These young men go out there and work hard, put their bodies through a lot, and they have an ability and talent that most people in the world don't have. And to say I'm going to do away with football, you ain't never played football. And it ain't going nowhere. You can't name a sport in America that is intense and as exciting as football. And don't say basketball. Don't you say basketball. I'm gonna turn your radio station off. Because basketball, it's got a lot of action, but every time you slap somebody's fingernail, foul. Then somebody say, why you foul? Technical foul. Then women's basketball ain't even a sport, if you ask me. And nobody's watching it. So anyway, I thought I'd let you guys hear just the lunacy on The View. And just to me, how these people are unqualified. Joe Biden said the same stupidity when he was talking. You got a 6'8", 360-pound running 4'8". And how are we going to stop? Bro, you know how rare it is for a person 6'8 and 360 pounds to run a 4'8"? That's like once ever. And he the only one on the field that can do that. So that's not football. And the person that got injured the other night, DeMar Hamlin, he got hit by a wide receiver. He didn't get hit by a 6'8", 360-pound dude running a 4'8". Come on, man. Stop the cap. Your biggest injuries are coming from Sean Taylor, Jack Tatum, coming down the middle and putting you to sleep. Now, though, rest in peace, Sean Taylor and Jack Tatum. But that's where your biggest injuries are coming from. It's the secondary players running a 4'3", hitting another guy that runs a 4'3". And, hey, it's life. Tough it out. Learn something. And I'm not against people that don't want to play football. That's fine. I'm not going to call you a coward. But just don't try to destroy the sport. It's very simple. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I got to tell you about MyPillow. Not your pillow, but MyPillow. The towel set is off the chain and is calling your name. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com and you can check it out. Why do I love the towels and the towel set at MyPillow.com? It's because I love towels that actually works. I don't care how cute you think the towel is. I don't care what patterns and designs on the towel. When I wipe my hands or when I wash my face or when I dry off once I get out of the shower, I want the towel to do its doggone job. Please, towel, absorb this water that's supposed to be off me on the towel. And that's why I love the MyPillow towels, because they do that. Cotton made right here in the United States of America, or at least sourced and produced right here in United States of America. And you're supporting a patriotic company. So if you're looking for towels, don't waste your time going to Walmart and all this old crazy stuff. Go on to MyPillow.com. Order your towels today. Put in discount code Brandon. Put in discount code Brandon so you can get the hookup. Now, let me talk about I was talking about Joy Behar and them on The View. In the craziness when it comes to sports. I'm going to say this one point and I'm moving on. Sports is incredibly important to the production of young people's minds, their talent, their work ethic. Now, it don't have to be football. You can have them in baseball. Actually, I would prefer my son to play baseball. Why, Mr. Tatum? Because I think he's incredibly talented. I think he has a rare talent. And I don't want him to have to go through the body pain that I went through. Is it going to kill you? No. Will it make you better? Yes. In my opinion, make you tougher. However, I already went through that. I want him to sign a contract for $400 million guaranteed money and sit in the outfield and do nothing the whole game until you have to bat. And then you don't even have to hit the ball every time. You only have to hit it 2 or 3 out of 10 times. That's what I would like, just because it's the path of least resistance. And they have guaranteed money. So saying all that to say that football is a violent sport. You can get hurt. But it should it be boycotted? Should it be outlawed? No. I'm just fine. And I was tackling when I was playing peewee football. I was a little old kid getting smashed, seeing stars. And it's funny that I remember the kid that used to just tear me up in practice, man. God dang. Jameson. He was way bigger than us, man. Way bigger, way more mature. He used to come out there and just unload. Boom, boom. We out there twitching, man, hurting. And I remember that we were young then. He was bigger than everybody. And then my senior year, I was an All-American. I was the top player, one of the top players in the nation. And so I remember playing Everman, because he played for Everman. I remember playing Everman. And I'm like, bro, I'm bigger than you now. And I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? He used to punk me in practice when we were in peewee, but now I'm the man. Come on and take this L. So anyway, reliving my glory days. But going back to say that I think that it's important to keep your kids in sports. Have them do something. You know, I was just thinking about, especially for these single mothers out here that are raising young boys, I think it's invaluable that you put them in sports. You have to. They can't sit on the couch playing video games all day. You need to put them in sports. They need to be active. They need to be around other boys. They need to learn about disappointment. They need to learn about discipline. They need to learn what hard work looks like. They need to be able to be competitive. You know, you can't have a cuddling under your arm. That's not going to work. And also, you know, I never, you know, when I was growing up, I thought Boy Scouts was corny. Look at these fools at Boy Scout. Look at these old corny dudes. These corny kids, man. What kind of whack? That's for white people. That's what I used to think when I was a little kid. Ain't nobody doing no Boy Scouts. Now, as an adult, I said, well, you know, now Boy Scouts woke. But when I was, as an adult, I said, wow, that was a great idea. I should have been in Boy Scouts. Because you learn how to be a part of a community. You learn how to be resourceful. You learn how to defend yourself. You learn how to cook and exist in the forest and all kind of cool stuff. You learn about discipline and accountability. And these are everything you need to be successful as a man in life. They were teaching in the Boy Scouts from what I heard. And Scouts Honor, I don't know. That's white privilege, that what I'm throwing up. Y'all can't see it, but on the camera I threw up the white privilege sign. I said Scouts Honor. Put my thumb on my pinky. Like that? Like that? Oh, yeah, like that. Scouts Honor. Okay, so the thumb on the pinky and then the fingers together, Straight up like that. Boom. You sure that's right, man? You ain't got me throwing up the Illuminati. And then, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. My gosh, I say he was in the Boy Scout because he's white. But anyway, but black kids need to be in Boy Scouts. You know what I'm saying? Maybe do some Hood Scouts or something. I don't know. But the young men need that guidance, need that discipline. And if you ask me, I think that every young man should finish a boot camp scenario as a senior in high school. You can't graduate high school without going through this intense boot camp. And I also think that kids, one period of their class, because I know you do a PE now, but that's no here nor there. Kids should be working out and having not too much intense workout, but they need to be a moderate workout every day they go to school. But the reason why is because some kids eat like crap. And they sit on the couch all day at home, and their parents are never going to make them work out and exercise. And so they're sitting there, and they get fatter and fatter and fatter, and then by the time they can do something about being fat, they're so far gone that they get very discouraged. So every day you go to school, they should make you work out for an hour, and you should have to physically do something. And you know there's somebody that's nutty that's going to say, well, my kid is in a wheelchair. Well, okay, lady. Maybe he ain't going to walk, but he can do something else. You're going to have to move. You got to be healthy. You know, a kid eating sugar all day and sitting around docile, how they going to focus in class? You got to get them to get the blood flowing. In the morning, do some jumping jacks, run around the track, stretch. Like, that's a big part of your education. But you know what? They don't. It's toxic masculinity, I guess, or something stupid they didn't came up with today. But get your kids active. I wish that they would go through a boot camp because, to be honest, football did a number for me. But when I became a police officer and I went through the police academy, I would argue that was one of the most eye-opening and maturing thing that I ever experienced. The light bulb snapped on for me. In a way that was much more profound than football. Going to that first day in the academy, being held accountable for other people's mistakes, like for the team's mistake, that paramilitary exposure changes you. It really does. I remember one time I made everybody get smoked because on a Friday I pulled my car up where the officers pulled their car up. I just went, put it there to put my bags in the back. Now, they probably was just looking for a reason to smoke everybody because I didn't want to carry that heavy bag all the way out to the parking lot. So I pulled up, did it, and they smoked everybody and made me watch it. So I'm still traumatized. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Faith, not fear. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Gene Pierre, these people are so fake. You know, I just really wish that we could hold these people accountable and just demand that they keep it 100. Because Jean Pierre is saying that Joe Biden inherited a mess on the border from Donald Trump. And it's funny that it's like, how do you inherit a mess and you do worse with it than Trump did? Now, if Trump had millions of people pouring into our border and then Biden took over and he had millions as well, then I can say, yeah, that seems like he inherited something from Donald Trump. How has Donald Trump got historic low border crossings, and then you have historic high? Like, as soon as you take office, you didn't inherit nothing. You lying piece of crap. You guys are disingenuous. You're lying to the public because you're acting in the interest of your party, not the people. Let me let you listen to the Jean Pierre lie to the American people right through a teeth. Roll clip one.
I will go back to what I have said and what the president has said, I think, very passionately yesterday and very precisely, which is that, you know, we are doing everything that we can to secure the border and to deal with irregular migration. That is a priority for this administration since day one.
She's lying. She's full of crap. We've done everything we can to secure the border. And the first time the president has visited the border is recently, right around now. How many years have you been a president, fool, and you ain't never went to the border, but you're doing everything you can to secure the border? And listen, a president going to the border is not like he's going to go down there and build some wall. The purpose of doing that is to show a sign of strength and show that you're actually caring about the issues. Donald Trump and presidents don't go visit the border because they're going to fix it. They go down there and show that, hey, y'all, I'm taking a look at this. I'm paying attention to it, and I'm going to do what I can to get the elements in place that are needed in order for us to make this right. By me showing up here is letting you know that I'm considering this as something that is important. That's why they show up. And then, you know, on the news in Mexico and other places, they see that the president of the United States is showing up at the border. He's now paying attention to it. He's now drawing attention to it. That means that he's going to crack down on it. You guys didn't make an effort to do anything. You guys do nothing but demonize people that want to build a wall. Y'all not trying to secure jack crap. All right, let me go with clip two.
The president inherited a mess because of what the last administration did. We inherited a mess. And, you know, Republicans in Congress made it worse by blocking comprehensive immigration reform. And so what you're seeing from this president is he's acting. He's acting to protect, to continue to protect the border, secure the border, and also deal with irregular migration. That is what he's going to continue to do.
Well, it's a step.
She's dumb. I mean, what she said is dumb. I don't know her as a person. But what she said is completely insane. Why do you say that, Mr. Tatum? She inherited a mess? Come on, bruh. You don't think now people are dumb enough to believe that, but the average person is not inherited a mess. You can't tell me what mess he inherited. What did he inherit specifically that you consider a mess? Okay, she has no answer. Clip three.
But I think it's more of a gesture.
I think it's a joke.
I'm indifferent.
I don't think he has any interest in fixing the problems he's created.
Stiffening security measures. Nothing has worked to this point. We put up a wall, they'll go over the wall. You put up some containers, they'll go under the containers. Nothing is really going to stop people from coming.
He's going to have to enact some of these rules that Trump wanted to implement 3-4 years ago. And, you know, it's just he's going to have to bite the bullet and do something with this border because there's just too many people coming in.
I think we have a border for a reason. I believe in humanitarianism and compassion, but we have to have law or we have lawlessness.
I believe our country needs to be secured. There is a process for coming here. I don't think there's a citizen that doesn't deny that, but we'd like folks to follow the process.
It's really that simple. I know somebody was dumb enough to say Jesus was a refugee. Shut up. If Jesus really came here into America as a refugee, we would let him in. Why? Because he'll come through a port of entry and seek asylum, which is what you can do already in this country. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. What a blessing it is to be in the land of the living. And to be able to speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. But I want to continue our conversation, and I didn't even check to see if anybody was calling in. I think we got one person calling in. All right, let me get the caller in. Let me get the caller in. Let's see. Ann from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Officer Tatum. I just have a question. It's not related to what you're talking about now, but I just needed some clarification. Earlier you were talking about salvation. Did you say there would be no salvation without Mary?
Yeah, I said there would be no salvation without Mary because there would be no birth through Jesus. You know, Jesus wouldn't have been born because God used Mary.
Okay, well, I believe that the Bible speaks of her, yes, and we honor her, but she humbled herself. She could have obviously said no, but that would mean that she's co-redemptress, right? Is what you're saying? And that's not...
No, that's not what I'm saying. So just okay. let me just explain this, right?
Okay, thank you.
You look at the lineage. You look at the lineage through Jesus all the way down. This person begat, this person begat, this person begat, this person begat, this person. And that lineage leads all the way to Mary. And God decided to use a woman he didn't have to. He could have made a supernatural being appear on Earth without a birth. He could have just appeared out of thin air. But he decided to use Mary as the vessel that Jesus would be birthed through. And so she was an invaluable part of God's plan in history. And I'm saying without Mary, meaning without a woman, without this particular woman, I don't think that we would have gotten to this point. And God set it up that way.
Well, I'd have to kind of agree to disagree, actually, because Mary is not co-redemptive. So Jesus is only for salvation. No, I understand what you're saying.
But Jesus could have been anybody else.
She humbled herself, just like we have to humble ourselves.
But he didn't use anybody else.
No, I understand that. So that's why we honor her. That's why we honor her, because she did. As we are supposed to humble ourselves to do Jesus' will, right? But by the same token, he could have gone another direction. So there is no co-redemptress. She needed Jesus to die for her too, because she was human. She was of human parents.
Yeah, ma'am. I think you're going into some theology. There's no co-redemptive. That's what I think. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay,
ma'am, you are into some doctrine or something. That's not what I said.
Well, that is doctrine. Let me just say one more thing. Jesus only for salvation. He's the only one, and he will always be the only one. So we honor Mary for humbling herself. Yes.
Can I answer you this? I think everybody listening to this understands that Jesus is the only way. Now, what I'm saying, I was talking about God choosing valuable men and women.
Yes.
So I'm saying without Mary, meaning that God chose a woman to do the redemptive work. So she has value. I guess where I got mixed up is
what you said, without Mary would be no salvation. And that's not a true statement. Jesus, God did not need Mary. Mary humbled herself. Jesus could have come any other way. He's God. So we can't say that. Anyway, we'll have to agree to disagree. Thank you.
We're saying this. Thank you for the call. Let me just explain this. Some people get so holy that they can't interpret plain language. It's no way whatsoever. No human being with a connected brainstem would think that somehow Mary is our redeemer. What I'm saying is that God saw it fit in his creation, in his redemptive plan, to use a woman to give birth to Christ, our Savior. That's all I'm saying. So what I'm saying is that God believes that a woman is valuable enough to be a part of our salvation. He used Mary. He could have used anybody else, but he didn't. And God don't, let me just explain this. God don't accidentally run up on people. Before the foundation of the earth, Christ was in the plan of salvation. Before the foundation of the earth. And so was Mary. God wasn't just thinking to himself, well, let me see who I'm going to pick. God already knew that Christ would be born at this dispensation of time through this particular lineage. And he knew that Mary would be the one he chose to birth Christ. He knew. Now, the reason I even said that, and this is why it's important to have context, is that we were talking about how valuable both men and women are. We were also talking about the fact that God made Adam first, and then he made Eve. And I made that as a point because God has called the man to lead and the woman to be the helpmeet to the man. And when we go down the list, I was explaining that all of the people who you look at Moses, you look at Abraham, God chose all of these men to do great things and lead the kingdom forward. However, without women, there is no men. And so God decided to use a woman, Mary, to be just as invaluable to the salvation plan. When I say just as invaluable, if she don't give birth to Christ, then what? There is no birth in Christ. It's the woman that God chose and used her to give birth to Christ that saves us. And people get so weirded out with like theology, and they think that you can't even talk plain language. There's no way whatsoever anybody is saying that Mary is our savior. But you cannot disregard the fact that she had to have been significant enough that God chose her to give birth to the Messiah. That's a significant role. She must have played a significant part, and she must have been a woman who had been dedicated to God enough so that he could trust her to do that. And the same thing with Jesus Christ. I mean, people get all weirded out. What is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the same way. I mean, some people like to go off on a Google Gaga land and create stuff that's not in the Bible. But man, Jesus had to humble himself, too. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. See, y'all that got me on this religious thing now. Now we got to go through this whole thing about religion. You know, I like to stay away from it because people get in their feelings about it. But I think that this is my advice to people who are in the Christian realm. Don't get so holy that you can't talk in plain language. And don't get so indoctrinated in theology that you become lost in religion and not relationship. You know, I think that it's very crucial for us to consider and realize all of these things that are working towards our salvation and not the wonky stuff that people create in their own theology. It's very, very simple how these things work. You don't have to go out and create things that are not in the Bible in order to match the things that you want to believe based on some theology you read at seminary school. I mean, you don't have to automatically elevate Mary to being a god just because you say that she was valuable or invaluable in the entire process that led us to salvation. Moses was not God, but without Moses, because God decided to work in the realm in his humanity, without Moses, what would we have? Clearly, Moses wasn't God. God is the salvation, but God used Moses. God used Abraham. God used Jesus. God used, you know, all you can go down a list of all the people who God decided to use in order to accomplish the salvation that we have today. And God is ultimately our salvation. Ultimately, God does the saving. God does the whatever it is. It's the one true God that does all of those things. And everybody else would be in part acting as an agent to what God is trying to accomplish. And Mary is not somehow insignificant. You know, you're talking about, you know, one of the greatest, you know, I would say one of the greatest miracles of all time. It's not just some random person that will have the ability to do that. You know, you are giving birth to salvation. You're giving birth to the Messiah, the Mashiach. You're giving birth to probably the most special aspect of our generational connection with God that has ever existed. You're not reduced to some, you know, you're just a little peasant that nobody should talk about anymore. I mean, we don't know everything about Mary because it's not like the Bible explicitly goes through the life of Mary, but she had to be somewhat significant in order for God to even choose her. I'm running out of time. It's only 10 seconds left. I got a caller calling in, a pastor from California. I'm going to have the pastor come in after the break. Hold the phone. I'll be back.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. 844-900-7243. That's 844-900-7243. Officer Tatum Show.
This video is brought to you. I said this video brought to you. You guys know I do too much stuff. I said this video is brought to you by the Officer Tatum Store. That's what I was going to say. That's a part of my YouTube video. But welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. We were talking about Jesus. We were talking about some people who are, you know, nothing against. It's just I think some people get so hyper religious that they can't talk in plain language at times. And it just seems that they just start down this path of like a rhetoric or you know, what they call it, demagoguery. They're just going down this path that like nobody's trying to go down. because in their mind, and I'm not saying that last caller, that's what it's just the way it seems, is that in their mind, everything is like a doctrine. You know, if a person were to say something in plain language, it's like, no, but the doctrine says that this is technically by this and this and that and this and that and this is that. It's like, wait a minute, man, we're just having a conversation here. Like, I'm not trying to insinuate that somehow Mary is Jesus. You know, that's clearly not what I'm trying to say. It's like we know everything don't have to be a theological debate. And in many cases, you know, people that like to do theological debates are normally wrong. All right, but let me get in Pastor Cheryl from California. Welcome to the Austin Tatum Show.
Hi, it's actually Pastor Carol.
Carol.
Thank you for the privilege of, thank you for the privilege of being able to talk with you today. My husband and I truly enjoy your program, and what we like about it is that you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it shows, and people are learning and growing. So I was listening to the last caller, and the one bit of information that was missing is, scripturally speaking, there is a red thread from Genesis through Revelation that ties the generations, Moses, Abraham, right up to Mary, in the bloodline of Jesus. So in other words, if you look in Matthew chapter 1, it goes through the genealogy of Joseph and Mary, and it all goes back to Jesus. So it was decided before the world began that she would fulfill what was needed. And we are all that way. We're all servants of the Lord.
100%. Pastor Cheryl, thank you. Pastor Carol.
Carol.
Thank you so much.
It's okay.
Thank you so much.
Hey, anyway, thank you. God bless you and continue the great work. We appreciate you.
God bless you as well. Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. I said that, you know, Jesus, from the foundation of the earth, like, you know, one thing that I think that Christians may sometimes forget is that some of these things that are ordained to happen don't happen by chance. It was structured that way before the foundation of the earth. See, when Jesus was talking, he said the same thing. The glory I had with you before the foundation of the earth. And the reason he's saying that is because, you know, the earth and the existence of the earth, you know, let me explain that God is not bound by time and space. Is we are. We're kind of living in this matrix, and God is not bound by this matrix. But there's a beginning and an ending of the earth. And you know, I give two analogies. I say it's kind of like a floor plan. When you look at the house, there's a floor plan that they put together. There's a spec that they put together before they build the house. And in the beginning of building the house, they have already set aside the bathroom that's going to be in the house, the sink that's going to be in the house, the plumbing, the foundation. All of these things are set aside and produced before the house has even begun. It's already laid out, and then it rolls out methodically as the house is developed. And it's not like they were going around and like, oh, you know, I think the bathroom should actually go here, and I'm going to put the bathroom here. It's like, no, they already have a plan for this house before they begin to build the house. And what you see is a finished product of the aforementioned plan. Same thing with our salvation. Same thing with humanity. When God created the heavens and the earth, he had the redemption of his people in mind. From the foundation of the earth, you know, all things were made by him and through him is what they were referring to Jesus as. And it was because everything that was made with Jesus in mind and Jesus in plan as the savior, because God already knew we were going to mess up. But he gave us a free will. And it's kind of an interesting perspective, because it's like, how do you know what's going to happen, but give us a free will anyway? And the truth is that we don't understand how God works, because it's outside of the realm of our own understanding. But we do have what we call free will and make decisions. But then God also make decisions for you, because there are people who are called and chosen. I don't really know if Moses had a choice. Moses may have thought he had a choice, but God had probably already, I would say probably, he already had chosen Moses to do the work. He already had chosen David to be the king. And the prophets had already mentioned David. They already had mentioned Jesus. You got to think, before this ever happened, prophets were mentioning this because God had already planned this out before we see it come to fruition. Let me get a couple more people in on the call. I can't even see the name on caller two, on line two. Okay, it's so far away. I'm sorry. Charisse in Florida. Charisse in Florida. Welcome to the Office Tatum Show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad I got through. I try to listen to you every day or every evening, and I love your show, and you're just incredible. I wanted to say that one caller, I found it disturbing because before I was a believer, I was very turned off by so-called Christians. And when I would talk to someone or they would talk at me, like that caller seemed to be talking at you, they don't give you that kind of thing is a turnoff to people who are listening because you have no breathing space. It was like talking over you, above you, shoving it down your throat. And that's not what brought me to becoming a believer. I was really, really against Christianity for a long time. And I didn't like God and I didn't like Jesus. And things happened and it turned my life around, my whole life around. And it just brought up those old memories of why, one of the reasons that I was so resistant. And so if she could have people like that would have a little more gentle spirit and give somebody else a little time to talk instead of shutting down and shouting over. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you so much. You've just meant a lot to listening to you through the months that I found you. I just want to thank awesome. You so much. You're so real. I just love it. Thank you. Thank
Charisse,
you. Thank
God
you.
Bless you. God bless you and thank you for calling. That made me feel good. And also I see your perspective, you know, because you have to understand, like, and I know how this feels because I was caught up in that form of Christianity where I was really defensive all the time because I had my doctrine and I felt like everybody that said anything that could have been close to define the doctrine, I have to correct them immediately. And what I realized over the years is that, you know, you got to have discernment on like what level are you on, right? If I'm having a theological discussion or debate, then that could be a different tone versus coming in with a fair mindset and saying, okay, I get what he's trying to say, and I don't think that anybody's going to be distracted versus saying, I need to get my point out and I need to get it out now because this is the kingdom is at stake, you know, and I just learned and each his own, you do whatever you want to do, your brand of Christianity. But I just learned that that hard approach, especially when people aren't ready for that, or that's not their intent, can really turn people off more so than get people to Christ. And I'm not here to be a beta when it comes to, you know, telling the truth about the Lord. But I really do think you have to be mindful of stuff like that because there is a remnant of people in the kingdom. I don't know if they're in the kingdom or not, to be honest, but I'm saying they represent Christianity that go to seminary school. And I normally call it cemetery school. And I'm not saying that to bash every seminary. I say these things because I want to draw light to the fact that just because you go to a seminary school don't mean that you actually were taught properly. Every denomination and every religion have a seminary type of a school. If you go to a Mormon seminary school, you're going to learn about the Mormon religion. If you go to a Christian seminary school and you're a Trinitarian Christian, you're going to learn about the Trinity. You go to a Unitarian seminary school, you're going to learn about God outside of the Trinity. You know, so seminary school doesn't make you right or wrong. And I think people should build a relationship over religious doctrine. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Office Savings Show. I got to tell you about the MyPillow towel set. Hand towels, face towels, washcloths. You can get them all for an incredibly low price when you use discount code Brandon, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, Brandon. One thing that bothers me when I take a shower is getting out the shower and can't dry off because you got cheap towels. I mean, just cheap towels in general. I literally despise them. And it's one of those things that you don't realize that's an important factor until you get bad ones. Or you don't realize how good it is to have great towels until you get a batch of good towels and you love them. And that's one thing I love about my wife is she always stay up on the towel game. And I always tell the story about how I have like these great dark gray towels and she only used white towels. And my towel sucked. And I feel like they got a mildewy kind of smell to it. I'm like, you washing them together. Why are these towels, you know, so different? And then one day I was like, I'm just going to use her towels because her towels way better than mine anyway. And they were better. They absorb better. They smell better. And I say, baby, what? Like, buy me some towels like yours. And they happen to be the MyPillow towels. And I said, well, how are you going to give me these cheap ones and you take out of MyPillow towels? So anyway, now I use her towels and until I can get me some different color MyPillow towels because I hate white towels. I mean, I don't know why my wife loves white everything. I think she's a racist. But anyway, go to MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com to get your towel sets. She probably laughing at me right now. I'm talking about she's a racist. Anyway, I want to get back to the subject at hand and talk about religious clarity. Because I often listen to theologians have conversations about Jesus, have conversations about the Trinity, have conversations about Unitarianism, have conversations against Muslims. Like I listen to all of these things because I want to be well-rounded and informed. But one thing I do realize is that you have to have a personal relationship with God, because vain deceit from people who are theologically inclined, which means they're so smart they're stupid spiritually, can really screw you. Like I've heard people who are very intelligent. I'm talking about some of the smart. I mean, you listen to what they say. You're like, my God, this person is the smartest person I ever heard in my life. And they're wrong. And that is because they don't have a connection with God. They just are they have a form of godliness, which means that anybody can pick up a Bible and read it. But to really understand the truth of God and interpret the Bible properly, God has to give you that revelation, give you that discernment that you can see through just the words of the Bible and just reading it just to read, having factual information just to have factual information. I'll give you an example of this. And this is why I'm always inclined to believe that there is something supernatural that happens to you. And you may not be aware of it, but there's something supernatural that happens to you when you finally understand God, especially when you didn't at first. And let me give you an example of how. And it's not through education. It's literally through revelation from the Father in heaven. And I said this on the show maybe yesterday or the day before. When Jesus was talking to Peter, now we all know Peter, I would argue that Peter was Jesus' favorite. Because he gave Peter the keys to the church. On this rock, I'll build my church. He was talking about Peter. Whatever you bound in heaven will be bound on earth, and whatever you loose in heaven will be loose on earth. I mean, he gave Peter. Peter was the man. And just make that clear. So he asked the apostles, and he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they started coming up with all these ideas that were all wrong. And then he looked to Peter, I would argue was his favorite, and the one that was most dedicated to him in his heart, not in his actions, because he denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed. But anyway, let's move on. But Christ already knew he was the one that was going to take the legacy of the church on. But he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Now, you got to think, Jesus already knew that Peter already knew. But he wanted to prove Peter or allow Peter to understand that this is not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you. It's the Father in heaven. These are supernatural things. These are not natural things. These other people are working off of a natural inclination. They are saying, I'm the Elijah or one of the other prophets. I'm John the Baptist, some type of reincarnation. This is natural understanding. because the Pharisees and the people with all the education can come up with these ideas about who I am. That's what the world thinks. That's what academia says. But he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but the Father in heaven. And he goes on to anoint Peter to be who Peter is. But I'm saying this to say this is an example you can draw from biblically, that the revelation of God comes from God. The revelation of God don't come from your academic paralysis. Maybe I'm saying that right word. It doesn't come from you being so smart. It don't come from all the studying you're doing of Greek and Hebrew. And I'm not saying it's not conducive to do those things, but that's not what's going to give you clear understanding about God. Relationship does. Your faithfulness to God is how God reveals things to you. And I'm not saying that you got to go outside of the Bible to find truths, because I think there's a lot of truths in the Bible that can get you where you need to go. And I think that everything that you need to know is contained in the Bible, and everything else is revelation from God outside of the revelation that's proven in the Bible. But I see people going down this path where they get so holy and they go to these churches where they just dogmatic, and all they do is they know their talking points. This is if you don't believe that God is the co-equal third person of the Trinity, and they kill you over it. They berate you. And it's like, well, slow down a minute, man. Maybe people don't understand that. Maybe people don't understand what you mean when you say God is three, but God is one. Just step back for a minute and have grace on people that they may not understand that. They may not be able to comprehend that, because you are saying out of one breath that Jesus is God, and then you say that Jesus died on the cross, but then you have to then say that God died, and that can become confusing to people. So don't jump on them and beat them up and say you're going to hell because you don't understand these things. You know, have some grace. Understand that, you know, at least the doctrine of the Trinity is very confusing. And it's not explained clearly anywhere in the Bible. You have to get it from context from the Nicene Council, Constantinople. You have to get the context of the Trinity from theologians of our modern day. It's hard to understand because Jesus don't clearly explain it either. It's not like Jesus comes out and say, I'm the second person of the triune Godhead. So we don't say that. So have grace for people, please. Don't get so dogmatic. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
This old man and me, we're at the bar and we're having us some beers and swapping night on cares. Talking politics. Blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great and beer is good. People are crazy.
Welcome back to the Austin Tatum Show. That's my song right there. And I like to say, and liberals are crazy. But I want to finish this conversation. So much other stuff going on. But, I don't know, man. To be honest, I wish I was talking about the Lord all the time. But I just want to be of encouragement to somebody, because I think that a lot of people are missing out on a true experience with God because of other people who are just caught up in religion. You know, let me just make this point real quick for the people that are just so dogmatic dogmatic, is that there was no Bible. I mean, you got to think, there's no New Testament Bible when Jesus was around. I just want people to internalize that. There was nobody going to Matthew 28:19 when Jesus was around. And so they didn't have that book to draw on. So how did you think they have a relationship with God? And now, of course, they had the Torah. They had the prophets. They had the words of the prophets. But most of it was a connected relationship with God, more so than what Christians do today. I mean, we read accounts, but we never really have the experience. We go to listen to the pastor, but we never have our own personal experience. We don't even know what the Bible say half of the time. We only listen to what the pastor say on Sunday. We don't even go to church on Wednesday or Thursday. Once a week. Some people only go when there's Easter and all this other stuff, which is a pagan holiday, just so we're clear. And also Christmas is a pagan holiday or of a pagan origin, just so we're clear. I mean, these are things that some people probably are hearing me say, and they're like, what? I can't believe he's saying that. Go look up the origin of Easter. And not Passover. Now, Passover is of God. Easter is something different. The birth of Christ is of God. Christmas is something different. I just want us to. And then we got a lot of Christians celebrating Halloween. I mean, I had an assignment to do when I was at church. The pastor said, can somebody come up here and explain the history of Halloween? I was a new Christian. I had just started the church. And not one person raised their hand. So I just said, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. And I did a presentation. I did research on Halloween. And to be honest, and I know people are, you know, in America, everything is so watered down. I think Christians should not celebrate Halloween. When you see the satanic rituals that are associated with Halloween, literally satanic rituals. Halloween is a time in which people sacrifice other people in the satanic religion. They sacrifice other humans in satanic religion on Halloween. Like, it's literally a Satanist type of a celebration. And people water it down in America, and they put your jack-o'-lantern and they draw a cute face on the jack-o'-lantern. You know how the jack-o'-lantern came to be, the story behind the jack-o'-lantern. I don't have to bore you with it. Go research it yourself and read what was the story behind the jack-o'-lantern. What happened there? Why do they use that for Halloween? Why do you go door to door for Halloween? And because they had certain things that they would do, right? They would give out the cakes or whatever. And I kind of forgot some of it, but they would give out certain cakes, and those would be for a certain purpose, and it had nothing to do with God. It was all a pagan thing. But do your research on that, and then you'll find out. And you can still celebrate if you feel like it, but at least you know the truth. Same thing with Christmas. Old Saint Nick and all this presents under the Christmas tree and all this other stuff. You go do the research, you'll realize that this has nothing to do with God, and Jesus would never celebrate Christmas. He would never celebrate Christmas. Would not be associated with Christmas. But go do your research, and you can still, if you want to do it, it's your life. You can go do it, but at least you know the truth behind it. And you're making a conscious decision to say, I'm going to pursue this even though I know what it is. And I'm not saying you're a bad person, because you don't have to follow the pagan ideologies. You can create your own form of it and stay away from the wicked side of it. I get that part. But I'm just saying these things to say that how many churches are explaining this to their parishioners or their people that are attending the church? How many churches are explaining this? They're not. They're engrafting these holidays into their experiences. And you know, I mean, it's more stuff to that. It's a lot more stuff. It's, you know, the weird things that people are saying about Jesus. You know, I think that Christians forget that Jesus was a Jew, and he held all the Jewish beliefs and customs. He was a devout Jew. And for some reason, Christians today think that you can just let go of every Jewish tradition because you now got a new religion. It's like modern pastors tell you that, but Jesus didn't say that. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill the law. You know, some of these things that Jesus did, you know, we don't even do anymore. But I'm not going to go down that path because that's depressing to me or just dogmatic and argumentative. I want to talk more about what's going on in the political climate, you know, with your boy not getting the votes. We shall see what that ends up being. But hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Unapologetically Christian and 1,000% real. The Officer Tatum Show.
God is great. Beer is good. And people are crazy.
Everybody's got their cups, but they ain't chipped in. The Officer Tatum Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you're looking for a solution to aches and pains, if you're looking for a supplement that works, Relief Factor is your supplement. I take it every single day, and I enjoy thoroughly feeling much better. And body's moving good. Joints are moving good. Inflammation is low. I'm just going to give you my own personal story. I used to have these, I don't know if it was stress. I don't know what it was. I used to just have this heaviness on my chest. Like, I just felt like my chest was heavy. And I was worried. You know, I'm not going to even lie, man. I was worried. I was like, well, I don't know what's going on with me. You know, what's going on with my heart. I'm being honest. And I started taking Relief Factor, and I realized that it went away. That feeling went away altogether. And I can't explain why. I don't even know what it was. And after knowing kind of how Relief Factor works, and this is not a promise that if you having a heart problem, take Relief Factor. Please don't mock me on that or mark me on that. I'm just giving you my own personal experience. And I just felt so much better. I felt like maybe it helped me with stress and the inflammation that stress caused me. And maybe that's, you know, another thing that it can do for you. Like, inflammation comes in many forms or fashions, and it's not just limited to an injury. And I'm not saying that this is going to somehow save your life if you're having a heart attack or something. Please don't take that the wrong way. I'm just giving you an example of how inflammation can present itself in multiple ways. And Relief Factor that helps with inflammation can probably relieve things that you're not even thinking Relief Factor can relieve. And I think I explained that pretty well. So go to ReliefFactor.com. Get started with the 3-week Kickstarter for $19.95. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Or call the number 804-RELIEF. I was looking at an article because my producers, I mean, I feel bad because he keeps me equipped every single day, and sometimes I don't get around to reading everything that he has presented. Then I go on a tangent and forget all the other good stuff, but maybe I'll keep this for later. But I was looking at the book Gender Queer, and y'all, I'm going to be honest, man. I'm concerned because I'm confused as to why they're pushing LGBTQ stuff so hard on kids. Why are they pushing it so hard on society? I'm to the point where I'm like, something else is going on here and I can't put my finger on it. What is going on here? You know, they got a book called Gender Queer, and all you got to do is Google it, you'll see it. In this book, they put them in elementary school libraries, and they are explicitly describing, picturing, and talking about things like masturbation and oral sex. And it's a story of how a kid is finding his self outside of the gender binary. I mean, they're going too far. And we better stop it or say something, or our kids, while we're at work, are going to get consumed and going to have a different perspective of reality than what reality really is. But it bothers me. And I feel like I need to say something every chance I get, because they are going too far, man. You can't turn on a cartoon today without them saying something about homosexuality. And this is the thing, right? If you look at how many people are actually gay or lesbian or trans or gender nonconforming binary, it's such a small population of people that you wouldn't expect for every aspect of our lives to be influenced by LGBTQ stuff. I don't know I think that in my whole life, I could probably count on one hand how many trans people I've seen. And you know, you could tell 99% of them, you could tell if they're trans or not. But I can count on like one hand. And let's just hypothetically say the people I don't see, it's 0.06%. It's less than 1% of people in general that are identifying as LGBTQ. I mean, not LGBTQ, but trans. But they want to throw trans stuff on everything you do. And then if you don't like trans or you're not attracted to them sexually, emotionally, relationally, then somehow you're a bigot. You're transphobic. It's crazy. I saw a documentary. I saw a documentary that's coming out or something. They were saying that the Bible doesn't really say that homosexuality is a sin. And I'm like, people will make up anything to dabble in sin. You don't even need the Bible to realize that homosexuality is something that is just unnatural to humanity. It's unnatural. You don't have to be a, they don't mean you're a bad person. They don't mean you're evil. But just stop lying and just tell the truth and then live with it. Just say that this is not normal for humanity. And something has gone wrong in my mind or triggered my mind to think a certain way that's not conducive for the growth and development of humanity. And that's what I live with. And that's what I accept. And that's what it is. Just keep it real and nobody has a problem. And I'll fight for a person that'll keep it real. But don't get up here and say, oh, this is totally normal and God is okay with it. It's like, forget, just take God out of it. Go with your science. Go with evolution. What part of the evolutionary plan is homosexual relationships? If you had a gene, right? To say you had a gene and it was a homosexual gene that makes you gay. Because, of course, nowadays they say you're born that way. Now, let's talk about science. Because y'all don't want to talk about religion. Let's leave religion out of it. Let's talk about science. Human beings have been here for thousands of years. Tens of thousands of years. Throughout evolution, do you think that gene would have survived the concept of survival of the fittest? It would not have survived. Because the two men who were together would not procreate. If the two women are together, would not procreate. And if you were going out as a person with the gene, quote unquote, and you were going out with a straight person just to populate, you would argue that over time that gene would be diminished to the point of illegitimacy over thousands of years. So scientifically, it doesn't make sense to justify. It doesn't make sense to normalize. And I honestly believe if a person is feel like they're born that way and they got something, I don't think people should hate them and be evil to them. But let's just be honest. Like, the things that you're doing are counterproductive to the growth of society. And I don't mean you got to be shunned somewhere. It's just that you can't procreate. You're not a part of growing society into the place that it's in today. How do you get 8 billion people on planet Earth? That's a lot of heterosexual relationships going on. And the reason that I say things like this, not to make anybody feel bad, is because at some point we got to talk in truth. And we can come together and love each other and be proud of each other and support each other, whatever you want to call it. But we can't live a lie. And telling kids that are 5 years old that they're trans is living a lie. It's child abuse. Talking to kids about oral sex in elementary school as a teacher, an instructor, not a parent, you are abusing children and manipulating them, and you are grooming them. That's what you're doing. Now, if a parent is okay with grooming, then you just say you're okay with it. But don't lie and don't be deceptive. Hold the phone. I'll be back after the break.
Need more of Brandon? The Officer Tatum podcast is available on the Salem Podcast Network, Apple, Spotify, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. It's a band, man. It's had so many good things to talk about today. Everybody knows what's going on with El Chapo Nim in Mexico. Oh, at least 29 people killed in Mexico to capture El Chapo's son, And I saw videos, and it's crazy in Mexico. I see that people are like, why you want to go to Mexico? I don't want nothing to do with Mexico, man. I go to the beach in America. Because if something hit the fan while I'm out there, I can't take my gun or nothing. I'm just going to be out there getting slaughtered. And I'm not saying it is, you know, let me not rag on Mexico, because people tell me time and time again that if you are in a resort, you're safe. They ain't going to do nothing. But the time I go out there is when the cartel going to start picking off Americans. So I don't want to be in that predicament. Employees' turnover is devastating productivity, and businesses are fed up. The turnover rate, people are lazy. People don't want to work no more. Why do they don't want to work, Brandon? Because the government is giving you money to stay at home, and that's their plan. I wish I'd have talked about this the whole show. That's their plan. They want universal income. I don't know how many times they got to say it to us for us to get it. They want universal income. They are going to have, and I'm predicting this. And so if I go on to meet the Lord at some point, you know, I said it already. I'm saying that they are trying to get the middle class or the working class workforce automated. They want semi-trucks to be automated. There will be no semi-truck drivers. They want Ubers to be automated. There will be no Uber drivers. There will be vehicles that are automated that you can just jump in and you tell it where to go and it take you. No people, no human capital. Then they're going to have McDonald's and fast food restaurants and all of these middle class but working class jobs will be completely filled by AI. And then those people, they're going to offer you this sweet deal called universal income. And they're going to give you an amount of money that you can live off of and you don't have to work. Why would you work one of these jobs where you're slaving for 40 hours, 50 hours a week when you can sit at home and make universal income? I'm telling you, I don't know how it's going to actually work, but I know that right around there is what they're trying to do in our country. And the rich will be wealthy. The poor will be only able to get past a certain point. You will never get past this minimum universal income. And the wage gap is going to grow. Middle class, you're going to either go rich or you're going to go poor. And that's going to be America. Elites, and then everybody else eating out of the hands of the elites. And you think you're going to go to college? Yeah, it'll be free, but you're going to study what the government wants you to study. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to scare you, but take heed to what I'm saying. Hold the phone. I'll see y'all next week.
Break it down for me, fellas.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.